the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all I do. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for this time to hear from you. Speak to our hearts, challenge us through the Word. Give clear direction and understanding that we might practice these principles for profit. Give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I've been in study and our corporate church has been in study talking about the atmosphere changes, and I want to share with you another atmosphere changer from the Word of the Lord, 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And no matter what your situation or condition is, there are biblical principles that share with us that we are able to change our condition, our situations, our atmosphere. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, and it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her son, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Now, we have shared there are five biblical principles that we have highlighted and spotlighted in the Word of God that are used throughout the Word. Sometime one of the principles, sometime all five of the principles, or any number of the principles were used in changing atmosphere and conquering and or challenging anything that life threw at the believer. They had the power to do so. Let me just throw this out if you were not in Bible study. One of the principles were, to be present. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy, but his word also must be present in you. If you're going to affect a situation, change a situation, you've got to be present in the situation. The process of change must begin with you being present. Second was prayer, because prayer is the communication necessary for the power of God to flow in any situation. So prayer is necessary. Thirdly, power, divine power. The divine power of God must enter into every situation to create an effective change. and then persistence. Sometimes when you pray, God doesn't answer right away. But when you know that it is biblical, when you know that it is right, when you know that it is something that God will honor, then sometime you might have to keep on praying till it manifests. And then lastly, praise. It's important to understand, Jesus made clear when he healed the 10 lepers, only one came back. He said, where are the nine? The Lord desires, we were created to make God's praise glorious. So don't ever think that God does not want his praise from you, especially when he does anything noteworthy in your life, especially when you have asked him to. Now, one of the things that we talked about was that these were all different people with different problems in different periods, which gave rise to the fact that God's principles are operative regardless of who practices them. So that means one of the things that I thank God for is the fact that no, I may not have been David, or I may not have been Samson, or I may not have been this person or that person in the Bible, but the fact that I am a child of God gives me the right to function to the Word of God, as the Word of God gives me and every other believer the opportunity to do so and expect God to honor his Word. When I recognize that the Word of God says everything that God wrote in his Word was written for my learning, so that I would not give up hope. What he did for others, here it is. He'll do for me if I do what others did. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? So that means if I practice the same biblical principles, I have a right to get the same biblical answers. And this is what this is all about, helping us to understand. One thing is true about all of the biblical characters that we've lifted up before your presence is this, that all of them altered their atmosphere by conquering, changing, or controlling their conditions through the Word of God. Through the Word of God. You've got to know that's why the devil doesn't want you to know the Word. That's why he doesn't want you to pay attention. That's why he don't want you to learn principles. That's why he doesn't want you to practice them, because things change when you operate in the Word of God. Feelings are good, emotions are good, all of that's a necessary part of our existence, but God is not moved by that. He's moved by his Word. So if you want to get God to move in your situation, learn some Word and then practice it, and then you'll profit from it. Let's look at this woman here who was an atmosphere changer. Listen again, and you can pick out some of the principles on your own since you know what they are and you'll see them in the text. Verse 1 goes back to say, now there cried a certain woman, and again, wherever the word says certain, it is a real physical person or situation. However, the name was withheld so that the spotlight could be presented and made the most important thing, not the person, but the principle. All right. Certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, in the Western world, we say Elisha. In the Eastern, it says Elisha. But I prefer to say Elisha. Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear. This word fear is important because it talks about reverential, morally fearing God, respecting God. So she's making an appeal to the prophet that her husband was a man who feared, reverenced, respect, and morally carried out the word and the will of God. And she said, now he's dead. And thou knowest that my servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Bondmen meant slaves or men servants. Now, here's what her situation is. She said, my husband has served you faithfully. He sacrificed being away from his family to take care of the business of God. Now that he has died, I no longer have a provider. My two sons are the only hope of life having any normalcy, any ability to be normal, any hope of having a livelihood. If my sons are taken away and my husband has died, I have no hope.
All right.
So I'm coming to you to do something about my situation. Now, listen to this. I'm going to throw this out too parenthetically, because one of the things you got to know is this, that your situation won't ever change if you don't have the good sense enough to say something about it. Some of us are too prideful, too bigoted to open up our mouths and say, I need some help. Now, this woman was not too proud to go and tell the man of God what her situation was. Her husband was faithful. Her husband served faithfully until death. Now her situation has arisen that has put her in a crisis situation, and she went to the only place she knew to go, to the man of God who was connected to God. And so she tells him, who she knew had a connection with God, who would make that situation better. Now look at what verse 2 says. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Now, he pretty much figured it out, but he's asking her a question. And in this setting, it seemed to be rhetorical, because he doesn't even wait for an answer. He then asked this question. He says, tell me, what hast thou in the house? And then she says, thine handmaid had not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Now, I want to throw this out parenthetically as well, that sometimes you can have something valuable and you not even recognize it. She said, I don't have anything in the house save a pot of oil. In essence, she was saying, that ain't really much and it ain't really nothing, but that is what I have. And so verse 3 says, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Now, one of the things that he's telling her, and he's giving her a helpful holy hint, go borrow abroad, which means stretch out your belief, faith, and your expression of reaching out beyond your place of comfort and borrow vessels. And then he throws this in at the end, borrow not a few. Now, she don't know what he's talking about, but he's giving her a command, just go borrow vessels. He didn't tell her what type of vessels, but the vessels had one purpose, and that was the whole substance.
All right.
So he tells her, go borrow vessels. They can be small vessels, big vessels, golden vessels, clay vessels. It didn't matter what they were made of. They just needed to be vessels. And secondly, what he tells her is, extend your search beyond your neighborhood to all your neighbors. In other words, as far as, here was the thought, anybody who will loan you a vessel is a neighbor. I don't care how far you got to go. If they loan you a vessel, they're a neighbor. Now, I want you to see what he says there. Verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now, he's given her the necessary instructions. If she follows this to the T, you're going to see her situation is going to be significantly changed. One of the things I need to tell you is this. If you want God's blessings on you, you got to follow his instructions. I know it might not make sense to you sometime, but you got to know that he has already said, Isaiah 55:8-9, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so am I above the earth. You can't even begin to figure out what I'm doing. So stop trying to figure it out. Obey what I've told you and watch me work it out. See, our problem is, now we're already in a crisis. We want to create a greater crisis by questioning God. Well, God, this don't make no sense. Well, the situation you're in might not make no sense, but you're in it. And God is about to show you how to get out of it. Now, here's what you need to know. If the thought processes that got you in the problem got you there, then it's clear that it doesn't have the propensity to get you out of it. Because if it would have, you wouldn't be in that situation or predicament, or you would get your own self out. So look at what this Bible says again. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Listen, I like this because I want to share with you the meaning of the shut door. There are three things that I want you to see about this meaning, because it's important to understand how this plays in the grand scheme of things. The first thing you need to know when he tells her to go in and shut the door is that it had a message of secrecy. Secrecy. Everybody don't need to know what's going on with your business. Especially people who can't help you. And people who don't want to help you. And people who want to know just to meddle you, or to mess in your business, or to make your bad situation worse. So sometimes you've got to learn to shut your mouth. And see, if you shut your door, which means shutting out those who were not involved in the process, it keeps you focused on what you ought to do without having to try to explain what's going on. Mabel, what you doing with all them vessels? Lord have mercy, I see your boys going all down through there. They just borrowing pots and buying. What y'all gonna do with all them pots? Now she got to go explain what she's gonna do with all of that stuff. And you know, sometimes trying to explain too much sometimes makes you lie. Now y'all don't wanna be truthful. Now you know, I ain't want them all in my business. I just told them this. No, go in, shut your door, keep them out of your, yeah. The second reason why he says shut the door was for security. The oil was viewed as valuable, listen, a sought after commodity, and powerfully profitable. So for security reasons, say, shut your door. But the third reason that I submit to you that he told her to shut the door was because of this issue of submission. Because surrendering her way of thinking and doing things to the way of God, he wanted her to be submissive. That means sometimes, my brothers and sisters, understanding that your ways don't work for God. And you, if you're asking God, must understand that you have got to do it his way if you want his help. Look at verse 6. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Now, I preach this many times, and I get excited every time I preach it, because even though the woman had the principles, it wasn't until she practiced them that she really got the revelation of what the man of God was doing. So as she got into this thing of pouring the oil, and watch it, listen, she had a little oil in a pot. The miracle was that that little oil in the pot received the divine word. And the divine word was to flow in other available vessels. So when, listen, do you know she didn't have to say in the name of God, our Father, she didn't have to speak no religious words or nothing. She just got the vessels and start pouring. She just obeyed the man of God, just did what he said do. And when she took her pot that had a little bit of oil, fill up pot after pot, large pots, greater pots, larger than the pot that the oil was in, it filled every last one of those pots, so much so that in her excitement, she cried for another pot. And the boy say, "Mama, they ain't got no more pots." Listen at what happens. The Bible says, and the oil stayed. She didn't even have to tell, "Well, oil, I guess you can stop now." Listen, I'm going to share some things with you because this is important as well. Why do we need to understand this message here? First of all, when you begin to see this, you'll understand some things about this word that's so very important. The oil was purposed. Somebody say the oil was purposed. What does that mean, the oil was purposed? The oil recognized that it had a purpose to fulfill. Now, if that oil was to fulfill its purpose, then when it completed its purpose, it stayed. It stayed. Now, what does stay mean? To stand still, stop, to no longer move or do, cease. So when the oil didn't have any other place to go, the oil had sense enough to stop. I'm going to talk to somebody in a minute. How many times do we mess up when we move beyond the calling of our purpose? See, you got to know your purpose and function within your purpose. And when you fulfill your purpose, you've got to stay, stop, cease. Don't do no more. Don't move no more. Wait till you get new instructions. And a whole lot of us try to move and go on. Listen, the oil didn't have any other place to go, so it stayed. And many of us mess up and miss our blessings because we try to do more than we're purposed to do. Sometime when I'm ministering, and I've learned this and I've had to learn it the hard way, that when you're functioning and flowing in the Holy Ghost, and you're being led by the Spirit of the living God, and while you've prepared and you've prayed and you've meditated and you've got that word inside you, and he takes you sometime places that you were not programmed in your own preparation to go, it's because all he wanted you to do was prepare yourself for his purpose. But listen at this. If he takes you to a higher course, it is to fulfill your purpose. Now listen at this here. When you are flowing and functioning in your purpose, it feels good. But when your purpose is fulfilled, shut up. How many times have you been with, you know, in the midst of a worship service or hearing a preacher and a minister or somebody ministering the word of God, man, and they were just flowing there. And then they reached a point where they plateaued out and they were the only one didn't know that they should have stopped 20 minutes ago when the Holy Ghost stopped, when their purpose was fulfilled, when the message was through. Sometimes you get all excited and you want to go on, but if you ain't got no more to go on, sit down. Sometimes we overdo and undo what the Holy Ghost has done. And so the oil had sense enough to stop, to stay, to stop doing what it was doing, to cease its actions because it had fulfilled its purpose. Now, I want you to see something else, because when you look at this word and understand it again, the word is clear in that it says, listen, verse 7, Then she came and told the man of God, which was smart. And I want you to hear this, because when she did everything that he told her to do, she had to go back to him for more instructions. Sometimes the Lord don't give you everything at one time. You remember Jeremiah, he told Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and there I'll speak to you. Well, Jeremiah could have said, well, Lord, what you won't tell me? He said, I said, go down to the potter's house and there I'll tell you. So when the Lord said, go down to the potter's house and I'll speak to you, he stopped speaking there and waited till Jeremiah showed up there. And when he showed up there, he said, now let me tell you what I wanted to tell you. You see that work going on the wheel? Here was this potter making this clay vessel, and he went through the whole process with him. And then he said, let me tell you why I wanted you to come here, because I wanted you to see the operation in process and see that just as the clay was in the potter's hand, so is Israel in my hand. And what the potter did with the clay, I can do with Israel. It made his message so much more powerful and impactful because he saw a live demonstration and presentation of the power of God through a simple illustration. So sometimes God doesn't give you all the information at one time. He wants you to walk by faith, one step at a time. One place at a time. So she's done what he said do. Now she goes back for more instructions. Here's what he tells in verse 7. He says, listen, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on or of the rest. Now, here's the plan is what he says. You've done good. First thing he says is, go. Now, if you pass go too quick, you miss what he was saying go far. The inference was go forward. Go. Go upward. Go onward. In other words, don't think that this is the end, but rather the beginning. He's telling them to go, because so many times when tragic situations happen in our lives, we don't understand that sometimes death doesn't really come to disconnect us. It comes to directly connect us with our destiny. Did you hear what I just said? And so, listen, she did not allow the devastating effects of death on her family and finances to be the reality of what she saw in her husband. The man of God told her, you can go onward, upward, and forward from this point. You got to know you have got to go. Listen, but he says something else. He says, sell. Now, start your own business. He says, I want you to go, but I want you to do something. I want you to start your own business. I want you to specifically sell oil. Now, I want to say this because I want you to know something. If the Lord wants you to go in business and he's telling you he wants you to go in business, can I tell you, it ought to be clear that he tells you what business to go in. I don't want you to go into fashion business. I don't want you to go into food business. I don't want you to go into finance or the fitness business. I want you to go into oil business. How do you know that, Pastor? He said, go sell the oil. Y'all catch that when you wake up. Sell the oil. Now listen to this. Why is, again, this important? Because maybe the woman didn't understand that the oil was valuable. It was used for medicinal purposes. It was used for culinary, and the more preferential pronunciation for the elite is culinary. It was used for ceremonial purposes. Lord,
staff and congregation of the Greater King David Baptist Church of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, just want to say thank you, our listening audience, for the overwhelming response of both giving and attending our pastor, Dr. John J. Montgomery's 25th